actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in God's presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts condemn us, then we have confidence before God and receive from God anything we ask, because we keep the Lord's commands and do what pleases God. And this is what his Son commanded, to believe in the name of Jesus the Christ and to love one another as God commands us to love each other. The one who keeps God's commands lives in that person and that person in God. And this is how we know that God lives in us. We know by the Spirit that God gave us. The Word of God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, may the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Back in the second grade in Austin, Texas, I was hitting my prime as a future baseball player. It was a year between T-ball and Little League when parents would pitch to the kids. I had had a fine game that night. One of my balls went out of the park. It was foul, but still, just foul. Another ball hit right before the fence, and I got a double or a triple out of that. Now, the pitcher, my dad, might have taken some credit, but he was just happy to see me excel, and I was sure that next week, I was going to hit a home run. Isn't that what we expect out of life? To see things steadily progress, there would be no setbacks. That next week, the biggest fan of baseball was coming into town, my grandfather. He was coming 8 hours away from Monroe, Louisiana, and I wanted to show him what I could do, how great a baseball player I was. So my first at-bat, the butterflies churning in my stomach, I swung wildly, and I hit a whole lot of nothing. My dad, again the pitcher that night, tried to calm me down, saying, "Be patient. Wait for your pitch." So that next bat, I waited, and I waited, and I struck out looking. On that night where I had so many great expectations, I did not hit anything. But something hit hard. I felt I was a fraud. I was a failure. I had failed my grandfather. I had failed my dad. That I wasn't deserving of their love. No one needed to tell me this. My heart had condemned myself already. Some think of God as a great judge, the one who decides the fate of who lives and who dies. But I have news, old news. We don't need God to do this. We don't need God to condemn us. We do a pretty good job of doing that ourselves. And when we're not condemning ourselves, we're condemning others. And when we do this, we are no longer abiding in God's Spirit. As the text says today, we no longer feel God's Spirit in us because we are no longer loving ourselves or each other. Our hearts become hardened. If there is one place where my heart is hardened when I think about the world, it is the Holy Land. It is the constant battle between Israeli and Palestinians, between Jews, Muslims, and Christians, between land and water rights, between unspeakable, horrific acts. Those of us on the outside looking in have a strong desire to say a pox on both their houses, to condemn them all. Yuval is one Israeli, justified in condemning the other side. Yuval had a brother, an Israeli soldier, who was kidnapped and beaten to death by Palestinian militants. Yuval was faced with a choice. Does he condemn those who committed this horrendous crime? Does he condemn God for allowing it to happen? Or is there something deeper, something greater going on? A love deeper than his own. After some time of mourning, Yuval chose to meet with those who also were mourning, those who were Palestinians who had also lost ones in the ongoing conflict. From these meetings, he recognized that the Palestinians were also in pain, and yet they also had their own issues. There were certain healthcare needs that they could only get in Israel, but in the West Bank, they did not have access to that. But their children did, if only they could get transportation. So Yuval would pick them up from the border, whether they were injured from a missile strike by his own military or just seriously sick. He would provide transportation and recruited 200 other Israelis to provide transportation for these children to the hospitals and then back to their families. His was a service born of pain and yet blossoming in hope. Sometime later, another Israeli soldier was separated from his group and also kidnapped. Would he meet the same fate as Yuval's brother? Every day, as Yuval did, he arrived at the border, but this time he wasn't there to pick up a child. He was there to pick up a soldier. The Palestinian who delivered that Israeli soldier to the border said, "You are alive today because this man, Yuval, took my little girl to the hospital." The author of 1 John implores us to love like Yuval, to love like Jesus loved, to lay down our lives for others, to not just say we love one another, but to act in truth and in action. We are called to trust the love of God, that very same love that Jesus embodied, the very love that raised Christ from the grave. When our hearts condemn, let us remember God is greater than our hearts and gives us strength in what remains. Back to baseball. After the game, I was so upset I couldn't even see straight. Thankfully, I was too young to drive. My dad drove us home, just my father and me. And while I couldn't bear to think about what was waiting for me at home, knowing that I would be fully loved and embraced, but still feeling so much shame, so much failure, my dad pulled over at my elementary school, and we went out back to the quarry where there was a trail going down around the rocks. Standing by those rocks, my dad looked at me and said, "Son, your grandfather and I love you no matter how many balls you hit or miss." I couldn't meet his eyes. I continued looking down at my feet. I know, but it still hurts. My dad looked out over the quarry. "When I'm upset," he said, "I like to run. When I have too much anger, too much frustration, when I have condemned myself, I like to run. I like to leave it all behind." I continued to stare at the ground, but my body began to sway. I could feel the beginning of the release, the beginning of the movement. And before I knew it, I was tumbling down that hill, down into the quarry, among the rocks, flying through, desperately wanting to outrun my pain and my shame. I ran for a long time. I ran so long, my legs turned to jelly. When I got home, my mom wondered if everything was all right. No, everything wasn't all right. but it was better, much better. We so easily condemn ourselves, and yet we are not in the place to do that. Only Christ is, and Christ is the one who sees all things, believes all things, loves all things. At the very point when Christ can condemn us, Christ cherishes us. Christ embraces us, holds us close. Even when we need to run and let go of that pain of failure, that pain of losing a loved one, the pain of injustice, Christ can heal that pain. Christ can find a scrap of paper after a hurricane. Christ can inspire those to frame that, to have it go across an ocean and come back and be restored this day as a testament of faith. That things aren't always all right. There might be a tear. All the names might be erased. And yet still, things will be better. Because Christ does not condemn. Christ cherishes us. May we take the time to address our pain. When our pain is unbearable, may we find the relationships that allow us to run free, to shed all that guilt and sorrow, to find strength in what remains. May we go deep within our hearts. May we go deep in the hearts of others. May we find the love of Christ there, in us, amongst us, ready to raise us up once more in new life, new love, and new light. Amen. I invite us now to stand and sing I Am the Light of the World, hymn 584.